Star Wars.
No.
Like somebody had it be silent in the big hall, and when she smiles, like you can hear her gums click. That's pretty fun. And like somebody farts, like a troop of farts on the way by. It's like Star Wars without music or something. It's great. We should watch that after.
Credit to Carrie. She actually sings this pretty well.
It was pretty good. Roll credits. There we go. There's the throne room stuff.
Now we have to great have theme. All the Wookiees arrange themselves into the big tableau at the end.
Yeah. I don't know. Throne room or Imperial March? Imperial March is the best of the best.
Oh, Imperial March.
The best of the best, other than the theme.
But wait.
Wait a minute. Chewie's like on weed or something.
You know what's coming up next? It's a montage.
Of what? The movie?
Star Wars.
Wow. All right. So we did get a little... Yeah. Okay. So this is what the kids really wanted.
This is Chewbacca remembering everything that happened to him in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Which isn't much, actually.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
You got to have the space chess.
That space chess was fantastic. There he is. Let the Wookiee win.
Let the Wookiee win.
Luke's got his little probe thing.
Yeah.
Huh? That's no moon. That's a space station. There's the Falcon, the flying hamburger. What's this? Oh, Chewie's remembering getting caught and then yelling at the little mouse droid. Oh, they didn't show the mouse droid.
They didn't show the mouse droid.
Oh, there's Alec Guinness smiling when he's going to get wiped out by Darth. He's remembering that hug from Leia. He's remembering hugging Leia. He's remembering
the boys hugging Leia.
He's remembering Leia walking with them and hugging on the stage and him not getting his trophy.
There's it.
He got his medallion. He had to wait until Rise of Skywalker. 2019 to get that medallion.
There's a definite theme of Wookiees lusting after humans that runs through this.
Yeah.
It's kind of disturbing.
Well, Wookiee's 800 years old. That's a lot of partying, you know? How many times do you think a Wookiee has a sex dream in their lifetime? Lots.
Yeah.
He had Lumpy.
Lumpy's at that age where he and Chewie need to have the talk.
Lumpy's like 78. He's like, you're gonna be banging soon, Lumpy.
So now we're back on the set.
It's not just going to be Greedos.
I don't know what all of that other thing was, but they're back home, and now they all die.
What?
Yeah.
No, they don't.
Look, they all hold hands.
Oh, my God. This is like some Jim Jones stuff.
Yeah.
What is going on here? They drank the Kool-Aid.
They did. And they all put their heads down.
No.
Yeah, look, they all put their heads down.
No, it's Life Day. It's
not
Death Day, it's Life Day.
That's it. That's the end of Life Day. It's like after lobster mates.
We celebrate.
It's like after lobster mates, they die.
They eat each other, don't they? Don't the lobsters eat each other?
No, they die.
The crustaceans?
I think there might be some giant, like, eight-legged Wookiee that comes in and eats everyone.
I thought all these crabs and crustaceans and lobsters and things, all the females eat the male like the praying mantis does. Oh, that's it?
That's it.
Jeez. The Mum Brothers. Who were they?
They were the Jugglers.
Oh, the Mum Brothers.
Yeah.
You know way too much about the Star Wars
Holiday
Special.
The Star Wars Holiday Special.
I am a huge Star Wars fan.
Who's responsible?
But that was crap.
Ah, Ken and Mitzi Welch.
Yeah.
Steve Binder, the second director. Pat Proft.
Ooh, Pat Proft. He did
Bachelor Party and the Police Academy movies.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so there were people who actually knew what they were doing working on this.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Mackie costumes.
Oh, you're listening to WMFO in Medford.
There's a Ben Burtt sound effects. I mean, a lot of people who worked on Star Wars worked on this. This was
best
put
part of it, though, Boba Fett Star Wars animation.
Yeah.
By far.
There were people involved in this who knew what they were doing, but they had no script. They had variety show producers trying to make no script work, and they ran out of budget after they built the set.
You know what, though? For a seven-year-old boy who saw Star Wars in the theater, and basically by then, let me see, this was 78, right? So this is December 78.
Yeah.
So Star Wars had been out for a year and a half.
It's the week before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, so Star Wars had been out almost a year and a half. I remember seeing Star Wars on Thanksgiving in 77. That's how long it took me to get in there to see them. And then I had to wait a whole year before the Star Wars special. So everything was based on memory. I only saw, what's funny is I only saw Star Wars, I think, in the theater once. And then I saw Empire Strikes Back like 90 times.
Yeah.
Because I was like 9, 10 years old. And they had free screenings of it left and right. It was like the parents would go to the mall, drop the kids off, and there were free movies every weekend.
I remember very vividly in 1978, there was a KB Toy and Hobby down one of those little...
R.I.P. KB Toy and Hobby.
Yeah, down one of those little weird side alleys at the North Shore Mall.
Sure.
And I was in there,
music for this.
I think in February of 1978, and they had new Star Wars figures.
Nice. Oh, my
Wave
God.
Wave 2 had just launched.
Some of the best parts of my life. There you go, right there. You're bringing back floods of memories.
And it was like, oh my God.
Yeah,
new
I didn't
Star
know
Wars
which
figures.
One I wanted. And at the first round, there was only, what, 12?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then everybody started talking about
Unless
Boba
you want to talk
Fett.
The early bird kit.
That was the big thing. With the Star Wars Holiday Special, you're going to find out who Boba Fett is.
Right.
And then you're going to be able to order Boba Fett by mail.
Yes.
And get a Boba Fett.
Yes.
It was actually, that wasn't 78.
That was 79.
That was 79 when Wave 2 came out.
Yeah.
And so this was a big deal. It was like, oh, you're not just watching the show. Like, we're going to meet Boba Fett, and then you're going to be able to buy it.
Yeah.
And it was like the most naked consumer appeal, I think, up to that point in children's television. Like, they'd been marketing through TV shows for a while, but this was like, tune in, kids, to see what you can buy next week. And all the kids were like, yay, we have to watch Star Wars.
Mm.
And then I remember watching this and just sort of, at the end of it, just sort of being like, what was that?
Well, Boba Fett was supposed to be more of a stormtrooper. He's supposed to be a specialized stormtrooper. And they were going to create hundreds of him. And then they said, it's going to cost too much money. Let's just make one. And that's how they ended up with Boba Fett as a bounty hunter, as something separate. And then, of course, you know, years later, they do the prequels and they make the clones. And the clones are Jango and all that crap happens. But originally, Boba Fett was supposed to be the clones of the troopers. They were supposed to be Stormtroopers 2.0. But we also got to see the Hoth Stormtrooper, which was one of my favorites.
Yeah,
I loved having that little cape. On the little plastic cape on him, and you know these long hoods that went over their heads to keep them warm. I thought that was so cool. I loved Empire Strikes Back in the beginning with those snowtroopers. It was great.
Spring of 1980.
Yeah,
I was in Toys R Us again, North Shore Shopping Center, with my dad.
Yeah,
just kind of like looking at toys. Turned a corner.
Yeah,
the end cap.
Oh no!
From top to bottom,
fell over.
With Star Wars figures.
Oh, nice.
So just imagine, you walk around the corner, and all of a sudden, there are all these Star Wars figures in front of you. The Empire Strikes Back figures had just released.
Yeah.
It was the first time I ever saw them.
I remember seeing Yoda, and he's 2 inches tall, and I'm like, who is this?
And they were mixed in with all the other Star Wars figures. Everything had the Empire Strikes Back card on it now. And I'm standing there, and I'm like, and my dad took one look at it, and he said, you get two.
Nice. About $4. They were like $1.97 at Toys R Us.
There wasn't going to be any discussion. There wasn't going to be
Service merchandise, you know, was like $2.50.
He took one look at it, realized what it was, and said, you get two.
Yeah, what'd you pick?
So I immediately grabbed the Rebel Snowtrooper.
Nice.
And the Hoth Snowtrooper. And I was like, I need these
battle
two.
Battle them out.
I got to have these. Yeah.
That's cool.
Because I didn't know.
And the Snowtrooper came with a long gun.
Like we
came
had,
with like an AK-47. Thing was long.
We had no idea who any of these characters were, and if my memory serves me correctly, Yoda did not actually show up on store shelves until after the movie came out.
Incorrect, because I got him early before the movie came out. I was in Texas at the time.
All right.
And Yoda came out, and I was in a Service merchandise down there, and it was the only one on the shelf. They didn't have any of the other ones. It was just Yoda, and it was the... I think he had a brown snake at the very beginning, or they changed to a brown snake.
The original one was orange.
It was an orange one.
I have the orange snake, Yoda.
And then they changed to a brown one.
Yeah.
But I remember seeing, I'm like, and he was a little guy, like a Jawa or the R2-D2. He was a small one, and I'm like, who is this character? And we just knew he was going to be a Jedi Master. That's all we knew about him. So it was the first photo of Yoda that I had seen. And I was part of the newsletter, too. My friends and I, it was like four times a year, you would get a newsletter, and it was like two, three pages long, and it would talk about them filming, maybe show something to Luke, but it didn't show any special effects or any of the animation or anything. But yeah, getting Yoda, that was my first Empire Strikes Back character. That's what I remember. The very first character that I got from Star Wars was R2-D2. And his stickers just, you know, browned. I kept them all in pristine condition, but those early Star Wars ones, they saw a lot of action. Like on the playgrounds, bring them over to my friend's house and stuff. And I lost a Jawa gun over my friend Mike's house. Yeah. And we looked for that thing for like an hour trying to find it, and we couldn't.
I got the early bird kit. So I had those four
figures.
Which
was figures.
Four.
It was Leia, R2, Han, and Vader, right?
It was Leia, R2, Luke, and Chewbacca.
Oh, okay. All right.
Luke's head came off.
Nice.
And I did not save the lightsaber. Which I should have, because that was the only double telescoping lightsaber they ever made.
Yeah, yeah.
As I recall, most of my lightsabers from back then had the tips chewed off, because it's just something that kids do. R2-D2's leg fell off.
People would chew. They would stick them between their teeth like floss.
Yeah.
The scoped lightsabers.
R2-D2's leg fell off, so he had to be replaced at some point.
I used him as a cannon. Yep.
Princess Leia lost her cape, as most of those did.
I know.
I still have Chewie, and I used to have, the interesting thing about the early bird Chewie was he came with a green plastic gun instead of the black ones that came with the carded figures. I used to know where that gun was. I don't know where it is anymore. That gun is worth like $150.
Did you get the blue snaggletooth from Sears?
I did not. So this is another interesting story. Christmas of 1978.
Yeah.
Few days after, we're in Sears in Saugus with my dad again. He was in there buying something. And Sears, for those who don't know, at Christmas time used to have this massively expanded toy section. And then as soon as Christmas was over, they'd clean out all the trees and they'd get rid of most of the toy section. There'd be like a little pile of clearance stuff left over. So I'm going looking through this pile of clearance stuff. And someone had taken one of the Sears cantinas that had the four new figures, including Blue Snaggletooth.
Right.
And just sort of torn it apart and left it open. So I'm going through all this stuff, and I found Greedo.
Nice.
And I found Hammerhead.
Love them. Love both of them. I like Hammerhead more, but Greedo's
I'm looking
great,
at them, and I'm like, what are these? Are these Star Wars figures? I knew they were Star Wars figures because they had the holes in the feet.
Yeah.
And those peg holes in the feet were your dead giveaway that it was a Star Wars figure.
Yeah.
And I recognize the characters, obviously. So I'm like waving these around, and I'm like, I gotta have these. They did not have the other two, to the best of my knowledge. I think they'd sold Walrus Man and Snaggletooth.
I used to call Walrus Man Ass Face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I got Greedo and I got Hammerhead.
Yeah.
And they rang it up, and they, you know, we paid for it like they were normal figures. Something that they'd never do now. They'd be like,
not.
That came out of that thing, and that goes with that.
Yeah, before UPC codes.
And I remember seeing that set again the following Christmas.
Mm.
There were some leftovers that sold out pretty quickly at the start of Christmas 1979. But I never got the blue Snaggletooth from that, because what happened was the red one came out, and the kids were like, oh, that blue one was wrong. That's stupid. Who wants that? And then, of course, years later, the blue one turns out to be the one that's worth a small fortune. I did ultimately get one.
He's like 300 to 500 now.
Yeah, I did ultimately get one in like the 90s from a toy store. So I have one, but I didn't get one that day.
Huh. We should do a Survivor Star Wars video. Wouldn't that be fun? We'll do like a 24 characters, and then we'll do like a 30-second video each week. Somebody shooting the other one down.
We should do a full, like,
sponsored by Wrigley's Juicy Fruit.
See, if we were organized, what we should do is like a full, like, bracket, you know, breakdown, which is the best original Star Wars figure. Yeah, and we start with 64 of them and then put them head to head until we finally get down to the ultimate Star Wars.
Those early ones, I'm gonna have to go maybe Jawa vinyl cape. That was a good one.
Nobody had the vinyl cape Jawa.
I did. I had the vinyl cape Jawa.
You did not have the vinyl cape Jawa.
I sure did.
Yeah. Where is it now?
I don't have it anymore.
Yeah.
Lost the cape.
So yeah, the cape is worth $3,000.
Oh, I know that. But I had the vinyl cape Jawa.
You did not have the vinyl cape Jawa.
I did. It's not like they didn't exist.
I only saw the vinyl cape Jawa once.
It was probably in my house.
And no, there were some collectors who pulled them out of a new case.
Yeah, but this is years later.
It was the only one that I needed to complete my set. Jawas were impossible to find.
Oh, I had tons of Jawas. I loved them.
In 1978, because Kenner changed the design on them, and
people would eat the cakes.
There was a lag in production on them, so you couldn't get those.
I think, got one.
I think out of the originals, like out of the first 12, it's probably R2 is the best.
R2 is great. I mean, he was my first. You know, he had the telescope in Empire, which was great.
The different versions of R2 that they put out through the years were all fantastic.
But everybody needed a Ben. Everybody needed a Vader. You know, those were the two ones that had the sabers.
Right.
And Luke had one,
Luke had a saber, too.
But he was new, so he didn't know how to use it.
Han had that mutant deformed head.
Yeah, Han had giant head. Yeah. And he had little head, and then he had giant head.
Yeah, like they never quite got that head sorted out right.
Yeah.
Princess Leia did not look anything at all like Carrie Fisher.
Yeah.
No, I don't know what she was supposed to be, but, you know.
Well, back then they weren't trying to make him look like anybody.
They were making some effort, but not a heck of a lot.
Yeah.
R2 and 3PO both looked great. Vader looked great. The Stormtrooper looked great.
Stormtrooper was great, yeah. Yeah. Well, wait a second. Tusken Raider was in the first 12,
Tusken
too.
Tusken Raider was in the first set.
The Sand People.
Yep.
Yeah. And also you had Mushroom Head, Death Star Trooper.
Yeah. Death Squad Commander.
That's right.
That name was changed very early on.
Yeah.
Because somebody didn't think death squads were appropriate for kids.
But then they brought it back to Rogue One. They brought the Death Trooper back.
Yeah.
Which I thought was one of the best new guys of
the all
Star
black,
Wars.
The all black Black Max.
Yeah, and they were all tall.
Yeah.
They were all like 7 feet tall.
Yeah, those were clearly like...
Now, why couldn't we see those in Andor?
Stormtrooper
ninjas.
Let's
talk Andor for a minute.
Do we have to?
Why not? We got 45 minutes.
It was good.
We can talk about other stuff. But, throw a Jawa in Andor so I know I'm watching Star Wars. Throw one of the Death Squad troopers in there. Throw Director Krennic in, one of the best characters of all time for Star Wars.
They had somebody who was similar to Krennic in The head of the ISB.
He was all right. But Krennic was fantastic. And we don't need... Not everybody in the ISB needs to be walking all over one another and all, like, trying to sneak their way to, you know, higher levels in the Empire. You know, it's... Because it would be chaos. There would be absolute... They wouldn't make it to where they are if everybody was trying to walk all over everybody else's plans. There would be nothing that was actually set that works.
I think the
A lot of problems with Andor.
I think the implication of it and the reason they keep going there is because the Empire is run by the Sith, and that's the way the Sith approach things. You know, is you take all these ruthlessly ambitious people, set them against one another, and
that's stretching though.
Survival of the fittest is going to get you.
That's for the two between the Sith and the Apprentice. There can only be two because they carry all the dark side of the Force, supposedly. But then you have all these Force sensitives showing up, like all the brothers and sisters and all this crap.
But that's the entire Sith management style, you know,
But they can't have it both ways. You can't have 100 people using dark Force. That's not how it's supposed to work. It's supposed to be just two of them. And that's what they did, a rule of two, and Lucas set that up. And then all of a sudden they abandoned that idea, too.
But,
with all the brothers and sisters and the Night Watchmen and all that stuff.
But if you go back to the way the Sith approach things, which is the lore that, you know, for better or worse, all this is based on now, the Sith are all about that. It's like, you know, take a bunch of people who are ruthlessly ambitious, let them slaughter each other, and whoever lives is the one that's going to be in charge of everything.
But they're also making it where everybody's joining the Empire. I would have liked to see something more clever, like Cyril there. He was the only interesting character of the whole thing. I liked Andor, but we already knew Andor, and we didn't learn anything about Andor other than he loved his mom.
Right.
That's all we learned.
Who wasn't really his mom. Oh, and he's got a sister that's missing.
Yeah, who cares?
They abandoned the missing sister storyline like after the second episode. It was never heard about again.
Yeah. I mean, I liked it. I liked it more than Obi-Wan. I liked it more than Book of Boba Fett, but... Book of Boba Fett had moments in it that were great, like the two twins, like the Jabba the Hutt's cousins coming out, and then they never show them again. You know, it's like, it's obviously they're doing this cheap and on the fly, and like the entire prisoner sequence, it was silly. It's like, okay, this is all on a set.
So the problem with Book of Boba Fett, just to back up on that one for a second, is it was written in the same way that a lot of things are written today. which isn't, we're going to start with characters or we're going to start with story and let it follow a natural progression. What you have instead is a bunch of people sitting in a room saying, wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be cool? Boba Fett rides in on a Rancor. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
Boba Fett and the Mandalorian team up. Wouldn't that be cool?
Showing no reason how he got to tame the Rancor.
Boba Fett gets his big...
Other than feeding it once and petting it.
Boba Fett gets his big showdown with his mentor. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah, and they never showed any of the stuff unless you watched the Clone Wars, which
Boba Fett's mediating disputes. Wouldn't that be cool? And there's no coherent reason for any of it to happen,
right?
Other than how they managed to stitch the scenes together. That's the problem.
Book
with
of
that.
Boba Fett had how many episodes? Was it six?
Yeah,
or was it more?
It was
eight.
It was more, but two of them were episodes of The Mandalorian.
Right.
So it was eight episodes, but six of them were Book of Boba Fett.
Here's my problem: this Disney Plus and this in the fact it says it's an hour long, and they're really about 32 minutes. Because the intro's at least 7 minutes of a recap and the theme. And then the end is all the international credits that we're all seeing.
Right.
And Andor, same thing, okay? Rogue One, we saw it together, easily the best of the later Star Wars.
Easily the best non-Lucas Star Wars movie.
Yes. Easily the best. And it gets better and better every time I watch it. And that guy that put it together was part of this. You had 10 hours to do something with Cassian Andor, who's a great character. And you failed.
And the interesting
thing is...
That's
the way I look at it at the end.
For 10 hours, they don't do anything with it.
No. It's like, okay, he loved his mom, and his mom is the leader of the rebellion.
Yeah.
Oh, we already had one of those. It was Carrie Fisher in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Okay? What? It's like, put some interesting characters in there. Put a... alien in there so we know it's Star Wars. Show a blaster that actually works, not like a laser from like a 50s sci-fi movie that they picked up at a store.
Well,
there was a lot wrong with it.
I think I mentioned this to you.
It's not Star Wars.
Way back when the trailer first came out, that I was watching the trailer and saying this doesn't feel like Star Wars to me.
It's not Star Wars.
And the interesting thing about it is it just keeps jumping around all over the place. It starts out as a procedural.
That could be okay, though, because I do that.
And then it stops being a procedural, and it turns into a heist story. And yep. I love a good heist story. And then it stops being a heist story and turns into a prison break film.
Which was dumb. Has been done better so many other times.
Well, the heist story has been done better so many other times.
Yeah.
And then it just ends with a droid
well, we had
with
the
a hologram.
Heist story in Solo, and they already knew it didn't work.
Yeah,
you know,
we end up with
Solo sucked.
We end up with a droid with a hologram, and it's like, what have we been watching here?
Yeah,
none of it is coherent. Again, it's somebody,
and it's a droid that's like the droid from the Black Hole from Disney 1979. Yeah. It's this beaten up old droid that can't do anything anymore, and it projects a hologram like it's a hero.
It's a bunch.
It doesn't do anything heroic.
It's a bunch of writers sitting around the room saying, "Wouldn't this be great? Wouldn't this be great? Wouldn't it?" You get an episode, and you get an episode, and you get an episode, and none of it fits, and none of it makes any sense.
They're hiring people for the cheap. And they're not spending any money.
It's not
even... They're spending it more on marketing than they are on the actual product.
It's not even that they're hiring people for the cheap. It's that they're hiring people based on, oh, I see you worked on this woke show, and I see you worked on that woke show. Oh, and I see you once script edited half a scene for Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Come on in.
Yeah, I'm so sick of this. It's not Star Wars, and it's good. It's okay. And it's like, no, if you're branding something... You should, number one, know as much about the brand as possible.
Right.
This is just marketing 101.
Yeah.
Okay? And you go back to, like, when marketing started getting really big. Like, you go back to radio. You go into TV in the 40s, 50s, 60s. You have to know your product. And the people that are writing these Star Wars episodes do not know their product.
No, they don't.
In any way.
They don't.
It's like, and to me, I would be sitting down and saying, watch Rogue One. Watch it again. Watch it again. What can we do and what can we pull from Rogue One? If you don't know anything about Star Wars, use that as your starting map. And they don't even do that.
The only thing in the film, the only thing in the series that was coherent was a storyline with Mon Mothma dealing with her financial problems.
Yeah, and who cares?
And whether or not she's going to sell her daughter to a gangster.
Who cares?
Well,
I was like, oh my God, I'm going to give up my daughter. Yes. And she's going to, it's a dowry. This is something that happened on Earth for thousands of years.
Story-wise.
And here we go, people. People that are rich marry rich people to stay rich.
Story-wise, nobody cares. But at least it's coherent. And at least it's one story. And at least
it was
consistent.
So talky. And it's like, who cares? I didn't give a damn about what she did. I could care less.
You don't understand her sacrifice, Chris.
Oh my God. She gave up her daughter, who didn't like her anyway. It's ridiculous.
Right. Yeah.
Ridiculous.
And the daughter isn't developed as a character at all.
And she's got this fop of a husband who basically just spends her money and gambles and drinks and socializes, and he doesn't work for a living. Give me a break. Who cares? By the way, Book of Boba Fett had 7 episodes. Andor had 10. Okay. Still, with those 7 episodes from Book of Boba Fett, you had 7 hours to do something with Boba Fett. And granted, there were a few cool episodes. I liked the Tusken Raider one. For some reason, there's a heist with that one. There's a heist in Solo. There's a heist in Book of Boba Fett. There's a heist in Andor.
But they did do something
with
Boba
Fett.
It's
like, come on.
They turned him into
an old man.
They turned him into a mid-level bureaucrat.
We didn't need, as much as I love... the guy that was it Tamara Morrison, right?
Yeah.
He's good. I mean, he's a relatively good actor. We don't need to see his face all the time. He is Boba Fett. Have him do some bounty hunting. Some of the best of The Mandalorian was the first episode. He is a bounty hunter, and they got away from that.
See, what I was hoping...
I can live with that because he becomes the dad to... Right. He becomes Lone Wolf and Cub. He's the dad to Baby Yoda.
I've started watching... You know? I've been going through those again with Bobby.
They're great.
Bobby loves Grogu.
It's not perfect, but it's great.
It's so well done.
Yeah.
When they announced Book of Boba Fett, what I imagined it was going to be was... sort of an updated take on anthology storytelling in the Star Wars universe, where every week someone would walk in and say, Boba Fett, I have a problem.
Right, I thought that would have been great.
And it's a little bit like Have Gun.
But it did have a story. Yeah,
Have Gun will travel. Yeah. Except that instead of him going to the story would come to him.
It was more of a Western than Boba Fett was. And Boba Fett, they tried to turn that into a Western, too, little bit.
But I mean, if you've done it where every week he's got to go out into Tatooine and deal with some nonsense.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe there's some plot of, like, gangsters in the background trying to take things over. That would have been awesome.
I would have liked to see Werner Herzog give him a whole bunch of money every other episode, you know? And just, he'll be working for a guy that's formerly the Empire. We don't know anything about him. What they did with the Baby Yoda was fantastic, of course. It became one of the best things of the last few years.
Yeah.
Easily in pop culture and in life. Everybody enjoys Baby Yoda.
Everybody loves Grogu.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love Grogu? If you don't love
Grogu... Well, we don't like his name that much.
Yeah, if you don't love Grogu, there's something
like
wrong
Baby
with
Yoda.
You.
Yeah.
Baby Yoda is the best.
And let me also add to The Mandalorian, the soundtrack. Fantastic. Yep. This guy, he's a young guy. There's a musician. And his soundtrack is fantastic. We don't have that in Andor. We don't have that in Boba Fett. That's part of Star Wars. You got John Williams. Very hard to ride his tails. But this guy comes very, very close with The Mandalorian. He comes up with some very creative ways to make music in The Mandalorian.
It's interesting with the Book of Boba Fett, because who did they have direct that? It was somebody well-known. Wasn't it Machete? What's his name?
Oh, they had Danny Trejo show up in Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah.
I don't think he directed one.
No, who? No. The guy that directed Machete.
I know Ronnie Howard's kid there did.
Not the showrunner for it was the guy that made Machete. What's his name? I should know this off the top of my head.
Ludwig Göransson is the guy that did the theme music I was thinking of.
Yeah.
So Book of Boba Fett was Jon Favreau. It was Filoni. Robert Rodriguez.
Robert Rodriguez was the showrunner. Filoni and Favreau were executive producers on it. And you would think that Robert Rodriguez could do something with this.
Yeah.
Apparently, what I've heard, I don't know if this is true or not, what Robert Rodriguez did was not what Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau were expecting. And what they got back was so bad that they stuck those 2 episodes of The Mandalorian in there to save it.
Agreed. Yeah, and those were the best 2 Book of Boba Fett episodes, and they had nothing to do with Boba Fett. Matter of fact, Boba Fett doesn't even show up
right
in one of them.
But the thing about it is, They have great, great characters in the Book of Boba Fett.
Would like to see that happen in Andor. Throw in the Mandalorian and Grogu for one episode.
The Wookiee bounty hunter who shows up in Book of Boba Fett.
Oh, he was great.
He's a legendary Star Wars character.
Yeah, he was great.
He's the angriest Wookiee in the universe.
By far, one of the best parts of the Book of Boba Fett was the introduction of that. I can't say the same for Andor. There was nobody that was introduced that was interesting.
No.
Other than Cyril, but we also don't know anything about him.
Right.
They had 10 episodes. They turned him into a security officer who failed, who kind of likes a girl from the ISB, yet he doesn't even get to make out with her at the end of the thing.
And
couldn't we see him make out with her at least in episode 10? Couldn't you give us that?
And she's not that interesting. He's not that interesting.
I would have liked to see her make out with him.
The whole thing with his mother is
nowhere... giving the big kiss for saving her.
Is nowhere near as interesting as anybody involved with this show thinks it is. The guy who's the Imperial officer who's in charge of the ISB and Andor are really the only characters that are worthwhile in this.
Yeah. The thing about Star Wars, and as we know, it gets away with it. It gets more away from it with Empire and Return of the Jedi. But Empire is kind of like it. It's serialized.
Yeah.
So every 10 minutes, and Raiders of the Lost Ark is like that. Every 10 minutes, something exciting and new is happening, and they are in peril, and they have to do something. One of the simplest parts of Star Wars, when Leia and Luke are wandering around the Death Star, and they get stuck on the ledge, and Luke just brings out this, you know, little hook, and they have to leap maybe 12 feet. She gives them a little kiss and says, for luck. Why can't we have that in Star Wars anymore? You know, it's such an easy little scene. It's very nice. You're rooting for them. We don't have good guys and bad guys anymore.
Why can't we have interesting characters who are doing something?
Yeah.
Because I will tell you, there were three good characters.
And they're very simplistic characters, but you know they're heroic and you know they're the good guys.
There are three good characters in Andor. Cassian Andor himself, obviously.
Absolutely.
You can only go. But,
and
let me put this image in your head. When he's clean shaven, he looks exactly like George Harrison. So it's nice to know that a Beatle helped to launch. And I'm serious. Look it up. Put a picture of him next to a picture of George Harrison. You're welcome. You will see it that way for the rest of your life.
Yeah. I like him. He's a great actor.
Great actor, great character.
What is it, Umama Tambien?
E2 Mama Tambien.
E2 Mama Tambien.
His first film.
It's fantastic, yeah. Great
the,
movie.
The second character, as I mentioned, the Imperial officer in charge of the ISB.
Yeah, he was good.
Great character.
Yeah, they didn't give him a whole lot to do, but what he did was good.
But
you knew he was a leader. You know he was playing people off one another.
Yeah.
You got an idea of what the ISB is, which is a separate part of the Empire.
You understand who this guy is, and you understand that he's a badass.
Yes.
The third character in this...
And you had to work for him in order to get somewhere, which is what the character does.
The third character who was interesting was the little gay guy that was writing the manifesto who died partway through.
Oh, you knew he was going to die right away.
It was clear he was going to die.
Yeah.
That was
they set him up to die right
that
away.
That was an interesting character because he was sort of the Lenin of the whole thing. You know, he's the one that was... writing the ideas down and had the philosophy. And we know that Andor took all of his diaries at the end of it.
Well, what about the black guy who was also a stormtrooper like Finn, who decided to fight for the other side?
He was...
They got rid of him too quick.
Yeah, they got rid of him too quick.
But that's an interesting character. Why not show Watto again?
They didn't do anything with him.
Have a Toy Zarian in there.
Yeah, they didn't do anything with that character, though. And and instead of getting development of that character, we get the generic, you know... female freedom fighters who are also lovers, generic friends, and the generic people who are going to be tortured. Everyone is generic.
What about episode 10 with that big jazz funeral finale? Like, I'm watching a New Orleans jazz funeral here.
Sure.
And then it was nice that they linked everybody up, but it took forever to get there. It's like 20-minute lead-in. Here's my idea. Couldn't they have thrown, like, the Mandalorian with some of the other Mandalorians come in and fight on the side of the rebels or something and blow up some of those guys? That would have been cool.
Yeah.
And it would have made sense, right?
That
would have been cool.
That scene in the, I think it's the third episode of The Mandalorian, where he's pinned down by all the bounty hunters.
Yeah.
And the Mandalorians just suddenly swoop in with their jetpacks.
It's great.
Still brilliant.
Yeah, it's great.
Still brilliant.
Could have done that at the end of Andor.
That's
it would have been,
Star
it would have
Wars.
Been a Deus Ex Machina moment, but it's Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's like have at least have one of them fly in on a jetpack and help him out. It's like and give Andor the thumbs up like he gives Grogu and the Mandalorian when he's flying by. Remember when the big guy gives him the thumbs up?
John,
that was awesome.
Yeah. And then the Mandalorian looks at it, he's like, I could get me one of those.
It was awesome.
It's a great throwaway line.
It's great.
Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni get it. They've always gotten it. They love Star Wars. They know Star Wars. They're happy to be making Star Wars.
Well, the thing about Filoni, too, is he got more as he kept going on. They weren't giving him much to do, and they weren't letting him use the history and the lore much.
Right.
And now they're allowing him to use it more. But he still has limitations.
But the other thing about Dave Filoni is that he worked directly with George Lucas when he was creating the Clone Wars.
Yes.
And he sat and picked Lucas's mind, and they developed that story together.
Yeah.
So Filoni is really the only direct link to Lucas. I mean, Kathleen Kennedy, yes, but what did she do?
She did an E.T. That's the only thing I like that she did.
What did she do?
She did E.T.
was involved in Raiders of the Lost Ark, and let's not talk about that. Holy cow.
Oh, wait a second. Let's talk about the new indie trailer, just briefly.
This is called Real Horror Show, isn't it?
Real Horror Show. We've been talking about the horrors of Star Wars today. Let's talk about this new indie trailer. You had to have seen it.
Wow, it sucks.
You think so?
Oh my God, does it suck.
All right. Am I excited about Indy 5? Yes.
Why?
Am I excited after seeing the trailer? Not so much.
Do you remember Indy 4?
I do.
Do you remember Shia LaBeouf?
I liked Shia LaBeouf. I didn't have a problem with him.
Do you?
I loved the beginning of Indy 4.
Oh.
The rest of Indy 4, not so much. Cate Blanchett did a pretty good job. But Indy 4 was okay. What's up with these stupid titles? The Dial of Destiny. I know it's supposed to sound like a 30 serial, but it's like, come on, come up with something.
Yeah.
You know?
That's part of the problem right
there. It's like, come on.
That title is terrible. The trailer,
other than the ending looks good, the poster looks fantastic. Have you seen the poster yet?
The poster looks
good.
It's
just Harrison Ford, and it says June 30th.
Yeah.
The poster looks great.
Yeah. And it's sort of, but here's the thing. It's a poster that looks like the poster for every other movie that comes out.
Yeah, but it's one of those classic old...
No, it's not.
Harrison Ford is the star.
No.
That's, what's more iconic and what's more related to a character than Harrison Ford in Indiana Jones?
The classic poster, you know? The classic poster is the painting of Indy with his shirt hanging open and the other characters sort of, you know,
yeah, but
floating
that's
around him.
That's the great serial poster. And they recreated that for all the prequels
that's
with George
Lucas.
That's
the Raiders poster.
Drew
that's the Temple
Stutzman
of Doom poster.
Or something like that,
yeah,
right?
That's the Last Crusade poster. They all had that look. This is the same Photoshop 10-minute nonsense that every single movie uses now.
Yeah, but it's recognizable because it's Indy and it's Harrison Ford. There's not too many star movies anymore. I could say like The Rock and Tom Cruise, maybe.
Wouldn't it look better if it was done in the style of the old movies? Wouldn't you have more confidence if it was done in the style of the old movies?
Not necessarily, because that's already been done. I do like to see that as a serial. This is also the teaser poster. It's not the regular poster. So we're probably going to see the regular poster be the serialized Star Wars and Indiana Jones posters that we know.
I don't know that it's not just going to be a big picture of Phoebe Waller-Bridge smiling. You know,
Is she the goddaughter, and what does she do?
If she,
other than being annoying, here's one thing: at the end of the trailer, they're talking over one another. You can't even tell what either one of them's saying.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Is that like a thing now?
So
I can understand in regular conversation. But when you're watching a film, the characters don't talk over one another unless it's a fight scene.
So, and even in the fight scenes in Indy, they didn't talk over each other.
Yeah.
So, down on this music. It's all I can hear.
You don't like that?
Too high.
What about now?
No, still too high. You're pushing it up. Is it moving it down is what makes it
go. We're in the Well of Souls.
There we go, yeah.
It's supposed to be a horror show.
There you go.
You've
seen The Irishman.
Yeah, with the de-aged Robert De Niro. Yeah.
You remember the scene where Robert
with
De Niro...
With his turkey neck.
Yeah, you remember the scene where Robert De Niro is supposed to be beating the crap out of the guy that's bugging his daughter?
Yeah.
And it looks ridiculous because it's clearly a middle-aged man just kind of like flailing at the air and none of it works.
Yeah.
That is the shot of Indiana Jones and the bullwhip at the end of this trailer. It is the same thing. It looks ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't know.
It doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's clear. You can see where the cuts are in it. You can see that Harrison Ford can barely lift his arm, let alone crack this bullwhip. It's terrible.
You know, this says it's the John Williams version of Raiders, but it's not.
This is
like some bastardized version of
it. That is the last thing that you see in the trailer, this terrible scene with Harrison Ford trying to swing a bullwhip.
It's kind of funny.
Okay?
Yeah, it's kind of funny.
But it's terrible, and you can tell that the action in that scene is terrible.
How about this, the opening number of Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom?
The trailer...
Anything goes.
The trailer is supposed to be the best moments from your film to get people excited.
Sure.
The last thing in the trailer is supposed to be the absolute best thing that you have to get people excited.
It's funny.
It's an old man, and much love to Harrison Ford. I love Harrison Ford. Tremendously talented actor. It's an old man desperately trying to swing a bullwhip around. It doesn't work.
It looks all right.
It looks terrible.
No, I didn't mind that.
It looks terrible.
What I minded was, is he on a horse? Is he in a subway? What is that? Why is it dark?
Yes.
It's like any movie now that has special effects is dark because, as we know, you don't have to use as many pixels when it's dark.
But
you don't have to spend as much money on the special effect when it's dark.
But here's the other thing. You know why he's on a horse? You know why he's on top of a subway? Because he can't move anymore.
I want to see Ki-Hai Kwan give him a hug and I'll be okay.
All right? He can't move anymore. They got to put him
short
on a horse because that's the only way they can have any movement in anything.
Yeah, but it's Indiana Jones, you know?
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's Indiana Jones.
It's a CGI recreation of Harrison Ford in his youth.
What if Kate Capshaw comes back and sings Anything Goes Part 2?
Kate Capshaw is not in this. She wisely bowed out.
That's because Spielberg and her ain't a thing.
Yeah.
They never have been.
I don't know how involved Spielberg is with this. My understanding is not much.
Yeah.
This is going to be a disaster.
Think so?
Yeah.
You know what? They're owned by Disney. Indiana Jones is owned by Disney. This is the first Disney Indiana Jones.
Kathleen Kennedy is involved in this. Need I say
she's
more?
She's the associate producer on the early ones. So now she's a main producer on this one, right? It's going to be Phoebe Waller, like, talking her Fleabag stuff.
Yeah, there's another generic paint-by-numbers
Frank
action
Marshall,
movie.
Though, he also produced it. He's pretty good, isn't he?
Yeah, but I don't know how involved he is in it.
Well, I don't know. He's one of the founders of Amblin.
It looks like another paint-by-numbers action movie where you dig up some old IP and slap it on there and say, look, everybody, it's a new movie.
Well, Frank Marshall's married to Kathleen Kennedy, isn't he?
Is he?
Yeah. So basically, it's whatever she says.
Yeah.
And we know, we've seen what she did with Star Wars. You're right. I don't have big hopes. I just love Harrison Ford.
I love Harrison Ford,
and,
too.
And did you see the one with the dogs with Harrison Ford?
No.
It was the Jack London.
Yeah.
It was great. I saw it right before.
Call of the Wild.
Yes. I saw it right before COVID hit. And it was the last movie I had seen in the theaters for a while, and I loved it.
The dogs.
It was great.
The dogs don't talk, so I'm not. You know, if the dogs talk, I'd be into it. But the dogs don't talk.
It was great.
I don't need The Revenant with dogs.
Nah, it was great.
I like The Revenant.
If you haven't seen it yet, you should see it. I think you'd enjoy it.
No, I've heard it's really, really good. It's one of those things.
It's also got some de-aged Harrison in there too.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a problem with it. I thought it was super entertaining.
It's
just like there's some actors that are attached to good stuff.
Sure.
And I think Harrison still is kind of there.
There's no question that
he still picks good stuff.
Harrison Ford, the actor, can elevate anything that he's in. But Harrison Ford, the action hero, is not. I mean, even Clint Eastwood knew when to step back and just point a gun instead of trying to be super physical about everything.
Yeah.
And Indiana Jones is meant to be super physical. They want this to be super physical. That scene at the end of the trailer, oh my God.
He broke his arm or his leg or something when he was making it.
Probably
right?
When he was swinging the bullwhip. That scene at the end of the trailer is the best that they have got, this is one to avoid.
It's not the best that they got.
It is. It's in the trailer.
It's not the best.
What's better?
We don't know. We don't know yet. It's just a trailer. I'm kind of worried that they didn't drop it at a bigger special event. They dropped it at, what, Comic-Con Brazil or something?
Yeah.
Right? Which is, I mean, is that a worldwide giant event?
No, it's not a worldwide giant event.
No, what could they have done? They could have saved it for the Super Bowl, right?
Here's the
problem. January, they could have saved it.
The plot of the movie has been leaked.
Oh, that's why they threw the trailer on.
The story is pretty widely known at this point for anybody who cares to look. And there has been a tremendous amount of backlash in the United States to what happens in this movie. Apparently, they've conducted multiple test screenings of it, and every single ending of the film has been hated by the audience.
Oh.
And all I need to tell you is that Phoebe Waller-Bridge is involved in that.
Yeah. She wrote part of it.
Yeah. Audiences hate it. All right. If you think she ruined James Bond.
Well, she did dialogue.
Apparently, she utterly destroyed Indiana Jones.
Was she in James Bond?
Yeah. She was.
Oh, she did the dialogue.
She
coach,
wasn't
right?
in it, but she contributed to it.
No, she isn't part of the writing process in this one, not from what it says here.
Audiences hate it. So you don't. So if you drop it in the United States.
You do have to update Indy for 2023.
If you drop the trailer in the United States, that gives the opportunity for everybody who's been critical of it to come out and say, look, I told you so. If you drop it overseas, you at least get a couple of days of international coverage for people to build hype before everyone in the United States saying, see, I told you so. And a lot of people are saying, see, I told you so.
Yeah, I understand. Hey, winter health PSA.
Yeah.
Let's do this. You want to do it or you want me to?
I think I can cough my way through this.
One of the best ways to help protect yourself from colds, flu, and other transmissible illnesses like the coronavirus is to wash your hands before touching any part of your face or lap.
Your lap?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Really?
Or eating. Don't eat. Wait. Especially if you've been touching shared surfaces like a doorknob.
Wait, let's go back. I can't
touch
my lap. Don't touch
any doorknobs or railings.
No, I don't do that anyway.
Don't touch like the third rail.
I let you touch that stuff so I don't have to.
I don't touch no third rail. Mama taught me right. Mama didn't raise no dummies. Germs are often spread when a person touches something that's contaminated with germs.
Wow.
And then they touch their eyes, nose, and mouth. People love touching one another.
Yeah.
So we're always going to have this around. That's the problem. That's the problem. Be sure to eat right. Get plenty of sleep. Good luck with that.
Yeah, that ain't going
to
happen.
Which, along with exercise and stress reduction, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Keeps health, keeps your immune system healthy and better able to withstand infection. Finally, if you do get sick, keep your distance from others and protect them from getting sick, too. We know this isn't working out. Cover your mouth and nose with a tissue when coughing or sneezing, blah, blah, blah. If it's possible, stay home from work, school, and errands when you're sick and help prevent spreading your illness to others. This has been a public health message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. Winter Health PSA. Do you think anybody is washing their hands anymore like they used to?
Well, I am, but...
I love washing my hands. Yeah. I wash my hands, you know, every time I have to go number one and number two, I wash them.
I have a kid. When you have a kid, you wash your hands because you have...
Well, kids are filthy.
The kids are always sticky and your hands are always sticky.
Wait until they get into school, man. You're going to be a real germaphobe. But Bobby will be coming home with everything.
I'm not a germaphobe. And the kid goes to indoor activities with other kids. And it's like, he's brought...
They all lick each other and manhandle each other.
He got RSV, so he went through that.
He went through that respiratory one?
Yeah, I got it too, which was not a good time. Not terrible. It's like, you know, it's a cold.
Wasn't a party.
Yeah. But it's like, I'm not enjoying this cough.
Yeah.
You know what I never heard about, curiously,
in
all of the years that we've been dealing with COVID? It is now AC3. That's our new year.
Yes.
3 years after COVID.
Yeah.
I never heard about anybody, and this PSA reminds me of this, I never heard about anybody getting COVID and then going and seeing people as an act of revenge.
It happened. Definitely happened.
I don't doubt that it happened, but
people aren't talking about it, but it happened.
I never heard about it. You know, it's like
if you can think it up, it's happened.
I got COVID and then went over to my ex-wife's house and licked everything. You know, it's like
I'm sure it happened.
I'm sure somebody did that, but we never heard about it.
Kidding me? I went right to the movies, gave it to everybody.
It seems like the most obvious thing that people would do.
Yeah.
Is, you know, hey, I've got COVID. I'm taking.
Well, here's the reason. Here's the reason why. I'm going to tell you why. Because most people don't feel that they're villains.
Well, most people aren't villains.
No, I disagree. Most people are villains.
No, most people aren't.
No, I think people are bad.
See, this is where you and I
Well, you have hope because you have a little boy.
No, no, no. It's got nothing to do with it.
Because I'm going to be old and die alone, so I hate everybody.
I've felt this way since at least I was in college, because I can remember discussing this with people in college.
What's that?
I don't believe that people are villains.
I do.
I believe that people are careless and clueless.
All right. And dumb.
Yeah.
Can we agree on dumb?
Villainy to me, entails a
dumb and selfish,
a deliberate act. Like, I am going to get you because it is going to enrich me, or it is going to make me feel better.
Sure.
Or I'm going to get some benefit from it.
Sure.
The universe just doesn't care, and people just don't care.
Mm.
And most people understand that the universe just doesn't care, so they don't care. You know, it's when you personalize it and when you personalize it and say, the universe is out to get me,
yeah,
or this person is out to get me, that's where you get it wrong.
Oh, I don't think that.
Because the universe is entirely indifferent to you.
Like, I agree with that.
And people are entirely indifferent to you.
I think people are just dumb.
If you're, well,
and selfish.
Yeah, well, there's that. You
and
know,
villains.
Yeah, they're not villains.
Yeah.
Villains are actively out there doing villainous things.
You think so?
You will encounter maybe a handful of actual real evil people
like
in your lifetime.
Like some scientist trying to create a tsunami that's going to take down Florida?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Elon Musk putting computer chips in monkeys' heads.
Yeah.
You know, that's being painted as an act of villainy.
All right. This or that, Derek.
Because he
attacked
wants his monkey army.
A giant skeleton with a candy cane. You're attacked by a skeleton with a candy cane, or you are in the water and all of a sudden a whole bunch of polar bears come to attack. This or that, which one do you pick? How will you survive?
I'll take the polar bears.
Go for the polar bears, all right.
Yeah, because...
This is our Christmas this or that.
I just throw a couple of cans of Coca-Cola at them, and I'm
there
done.
There you go. You nice. Know? Very well done.
They're all going to go drink their cola, and I can go home.
Well done. All right, give me a scenario. Come up with one.
The skeleton's probably going to follow me somewhere if I do that.
a Christmas this or that.
Yeah, so a Christmas this or that. So, let's see. What do we got? Santa Claus.
All right. I pick Santa Claus.
No, well, I'm trying to phrase this correctly.
All right.
Because there are ways that I can phrase this that are bad, and there are ways that I can phrase this that are less bad.
Mm-hmm.
Santa Claus with monkeypox.
Ooh.
Or Salvation Army bell ringer with a gun.
I'll take the Salvation Army bell ringer with a gun. I'd give him $2.
Yeah, the monkey. But he's not taking the $2.
No, I think he would.
He can't stand the ringing anymore. He can't stand the people. He's had it.
Oh. I thought that was easy survival. I just give him the money, and then it's just that old Rich Gustus joke, you know. And he's just like the person who was nice to me at school. He waves, and he just keeps going.
Yeah. No, yeah. He's hunkered down in his kettle, Ezekiel Elliott style, with the gun, and taking on all comers.
I think $2 is decent for a Salvation Army, you know, not change. You got to give bills. People don't like change. Anybody in the service industry now can tell you, don't give people change. Nobody wants change
anymore. Nobody wants coins anymore.
And we've never figured out why there's no, I mean, nobody's giving up change anymore. I don't know why there's a shortage on change still since coronavirus. There's so much change. You could make like a little state of Rhode Island with the amount of change that's going around.
But everybody's got it at home. This is the thing, is they give out change and people take it home and throw it in a box and they don't touch it anymore.
It's ridiculous.
You know, like, no. Yeah.
Give me your change. I'll take your change.
No, I got like a 40-pound box of change at home that I have to figure out how to get out of the upstairs bedroom.
Yeah.
Without ruining my back. It weighs more than my son.
Here's a this or that. Not a horror one, though. Let's just say a pet. A reindeer or a polar bear. Which one?
Oh, you got to go with the reindeer.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because the polar bear sooner or later is going to eat your is either going to bite you or eat your neighbor.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you know,
that's not bad though. That could be a Christmas wish for somebody.
The worst thing the reindeer is going to do is like chew a hole in a fence.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like they're like big squirrels.
I went over to the Stoneham Zoo there.
Zoo lights.
And we went to go see the reindeer. And there was a lady there. She's like, oh, are you in the line for the reindeer? And we're like, yeah, we're in the line for the reindeer. And she's like, oh, well, the line starts back there. And there's like 30 people in line for the reindeer. And we're like, we were just standing there getting warm, drinking hot chocolate. And I thought she was just being nice, but then she just said we were out of line. And I'm like, we're not even in line for the reindeer.
Are you trying to cut the line for the reindeer?
No, we were drinking hot chocolate, minding our own business.
I made the mistake of touching the reindeer a couple years ago and got a stern talking to from one of the zoo employees.
Why did you touch the reindeer?
Well, because I thought we could pet the reindeer.
You can't pet anything anymore.
You know.
You can't even pet your wife or girlfriend unless you ask.
I'm like petting the reindeer, and they're like, don't touch the reindeer. I'm like,
you can pet me.
You know, don't want to upset the reindeer. You're holding the reindeer. You're touching the reindeer. Why can't I touch the reindeer?
Yeah.
Shouldn't I be able to touch the reindeer?
Yeah, in a perfect world, yes.
You know.
It's part of being idealistic again. See how that came around?
I understand it's bad animal husbandry. You know, it's a wild reindeer, and we don't want it getting too comfortable around people, but it's going to live its rest of its life in the zoo.
Yeah.
You know.
I agree. I don't know. Any more final thoughts on Star Wars? I mean, we could talk about it. We could just have a show called Star Wars.
We could do... So,
the Horrors of Star Wars with Derek
couple
and Chris.
Of things. A couple of things. I got to go back and I got to listen.
Oh, let me quick. Another quick this or that. Greedo or Hammerhead? Pick one.
Oh, Hammerhead. Because Hammerhead's super cool. I love Ithorians.
Yeah.
Like, Ithorians are my favorite Star Wars alien.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
Ewok or Naboo guy? The Gungan. Ebo or Jar Binks?
God. No, Ewoks all day.
I'd pick Jar Jar Binks.
No, Gungans are weird.
No, I'd pick the Ewok.
They got them weird flat
Wicked.
Ears.
I'd pick Wicked. He was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can train an Ewok to play fetch. So, a couple of things. I wanted to put this idea out to you. I've got to go back and listen to the Star Wars Holiday Special thing in its entirety because I haven't yet heard parts of it.
Sure.
I know Molly enjoyed it.
WMFO.org. You can listen to it.
You said you enjoyed it. I want to listen to the whole thing.
Yeah, it's good.
I had an idea for a show that we'll talk about where, you know, we do commentaries for movies. And it occurred to me a couple of days ago that one movie that we should definitely do a commentary track for is School Ties.
Oh, yeah.
Because
that'd be fun because you're in it.
I'm in it. And I remember every detail about making that movie.
Sure.
So there's something that we might do at some point in the future. But next week, we have a holiday music battle.
Oh, yeah. We should probably talk
going
about
down.
That. Yeah, we got 4 minutes left. So.
And this is how many years have we been doing this thing now?
Long time.
Like, even during COVID, we did it via Zoom.
More than 10.
And put them up on YouTube. Yeah. So I was going to ask you what the rules are and get
you. I think we got to do 1 to 3 minutes because it's only 2 hours. We usually have 4 hours.
Right.
And we only got two this year.
No, but I'm talking about song selection because there's been questions raised about, you know, what's the universe of songs that we can choose from?
I think we should be able to choose anything at this point. Don't you?
No, because if you can choose anything, there are a handful of go-to songs that are going to wind up on this show every year.
Mm.
You know?
I guess, yeah, you're right.
So I think there has to be some limit. Like, if it is an all-time holiday classic that we can't, like, we're not playing All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Sure. Okay.
You know, we're not. And if it was something that we used like in the last year or two, like I'm not going to break out the Marilyn Manson remix of All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Maybe it has to be the most interesting of the two. I don't know. That's up to the judges to decide.
You know, Hall & Oates.
Let's just pick something that we haven't picked before.
Hall & Oates Jingle Bell Rock can't be on the list. Do They Know It's Christmas Time can't be on the list.
Right.
Fairy Tale of New York can't be on the list. It's got to be something that at least feels somewhat new to us.
Right.
Because if it feels new to you and I, we know it's going to feel new to the judges.
I haven't even started on it yet.
I haven't either.
I started to pull a couple of things together. But I don't even know who's on the show with us next week. But we're going to have celebrity judges.
We're going to have celebrity judges as we do every year.
Yep. And it'll be fun.
It'll be exciting.
So, yeah, we are doing that next week. And we do have to talk about horror movies that are Christmas movies at one point. I'd say go see Gremlins this week. If anybody hasn't seen Gremlins, go see Gremlins.
We'll catch up with that on the 21st. Go see Gremlins. Profondo Rosso, Dario Argento's Deep Red, my favorite Christmas-adjacent horror movie. One of my favorite horror movies of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely belongs on your viewing list. And, well, I got a second.
Dead Snow, another great one.
Dead Snow, is that a Christmas movie or just Winter Vacation? I love Dead Snow.
Yeah, Christmas Vacation, another good one.
Brand new on 4K, Black Christmas.
Oh, fantastic movie.
With
Margot Kidder, Keir Duello.
A completely restored 5-1 soundtrack.
Not the remake. The original.
Yeah. The original with Margot Kidder. Yeah. Awesome, awesome movie.
I agree. So next week it'll be our Christmas thing. We'll talk about this off... off the mics. Yeah. But yeah, we'll figure out our own little rules and then we'll.
But we've already got our judges.
We got to start right away next week.
We got our judges lined up for it. We're going to be good to go. Yeah. It's going to be an awesome time. If you've never heard one of these things before, it'll be fun. We promise.
Derek promises. I don't know.
No, suck. It's one of my favorite shows of the year.
It might suck.
Even though you win every single time.
I know. It might
because
suck.
You cheat.
I don't. I never cheat.
You cheat.
I'm all about integrity.
No, you've cheated your way to a win more times in this thing than I can
haven't.
Count.
I think you won by one vote.
I won by
and
one
it was
vote
your wife.
Once.
It was your wife that voted
despite
for you.
Despite your cheating.
I never cheated.
You always cheat.
Never.
It's a holiday tradition.
I'm good. I come up with some good stuff. I come up with some great holiday music.
The Christmas music.
I was going to try to put a couple of good things together, like brand new with like some people and stuff, and it just ain't happening.
We might have something.
Yeah.
Maybe.
We will see.
No promises there. But we're going to have a great show next week. And if you like holiday music.
This week was kind of fun, too.
If you like holiday music, you'll like it. If you hate holiday music, you'll love it.
Yes. See you next week, everybody. Real Horse Show, Chris Earl, Derek Gary. You are listening to WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. Have a wonderful week, everybody. We'll be back next week with our holiday special.